It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 40 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
They've let us do this 40 times. That's unbelievable.
That? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know who your favorite 40 is?
You know, I sat and thought about that, and I don't know if I have a favorite 40.
Me either.
I mean, I was so focused on 39 last week with Dave Parker
that
I really hadn't thought about 40.
Me either. I don't have a favorite 40.
If Tuttle was here, though, Tuttle's not going to be here today, and I bet he has a favorite.
He's got a favorite every number. Or if he doesn't, he'll come up with something.
What about you, Coach? You got a favorite 40?
I don't know. I caught y'all the first 10 or 15, and then I don't know. It's been busy or whatever.
I bet it's been busy. Yeah, I bet you've been a little bit busy.
Yeah, just a little bit busy. But just to start off the show, we're here with Coach Stephen Sloan, the head coach for both ladies and men's soccer programs at DeQueen High School. And a great year for both teams, Coach.
Yeah, we we have high expectations going into each year, and they've all done met those high expectations, and just getting to a state tournament is a big accomplishment. I think any team in the state would be happy to be there, and once you get there, every day is a new day, and then things can happen either way, and. But we're real proud of how the seasons went and how both teams did.
Yeah, girls, had a little bit of growing to do during the season. They did that well. Ended up losing a penalty kick situation to Farmington in the opening round of the state tournament, 4-2, I believe. But excellent effort by them, and I know, just knowing Farmington, that they have a really good team, so I know they had a good game to hold them to 0-0 and go to kicks.
Yeah. You know how many of those girls were from Farmington, though.
Oh, yeah.
They have a big reputation they have great recruiting classes.
They do on the boys' side as well. They get exchange students every year from
exchange from Perry Grove or Pea Ridge or Fayetteville.
Yep. the girls did really great. You know, they got better as the season went along. Mm-hmm. The one big thing the girls struggled with is we just really didn't have a proven scorer all year. They did a lot of great things, played great defense, possessed the ball, made great passes. We just couldn't get in front of the goal and put the ball in the back of the net. Hopefully in this offseason we can develop somebody who can do that more consistently. But they played their best game, their best effort, their best game, their last game. And that's what you want. You want to be trying to play your best at state. And the girls did the game plan perfectly. Farmington had a really fast forward, and the girls really locked her up and made sure she didn't get off very many attempts. And did a real good job of just taking the ball off her foot constantly. And that opened up opportunities for us. And, you know, we had a couple opportunities. We just couldn't get it in the goal. And then shootouts are shootouts. That can go either way. So,
well, Coach, as far as seniors versus underclassmen, how do the girls look coming back next year?
Well, the girls basically have everybody back.
Good news.
They have three seniors. Two of them saw significant time. But other than that, everybody's basically back. So, like I said, just developing that one score, mm-hmm. they have a lot of pieces coming back, finding that one defender to replace Alexa, who did an excellent job. She's going to be tough to replace, but she did a really good job. But on the girls' side, one, and on the boys' side, it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boys' side, we're replacing 10 starters from this team next year. And now a lot of guys have gotten experience because we do a lot of more rotating on the boys' side. But, replacing 10 starters, four across defense, three across the midfield, and the two forwards up top with the goalie as well. So
wow.
But we replaced a lot of seniors from last year, so hopefully they can gel over this next year and come together. And we probably will be a little bit younger on the boys' side next year.
How many young people did you have out for soccer, both boys and girls together?
On the boys' side, we had 54.
That's incredible.
we have what we call our travel squad, and then we have a development squad. Basically, the development squads, when we practice, they scrimmage and and do little things. They get in with us, but they're not really in on the game planning as much, and they really never see much game action. On the girls' side, we had right at 42 or 43. I don't remember what we ended the year, but probably the highest numbers we've had in girls so far. And so,
so nearly 100 young people involved.
Very close
in the
to 100.
Program.
We started with over 100, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's where we ended the year at.
That's great. And just to talk about the boys just for a second, ended their season Saturday in the semifinals with a loss to Dardanelle Sand Lizards. I don't know why anybody named their team the Sand Lizards, but anyway, they are. And once you get that far, it's kind of like you said. I mean, boys had a great year. I mean, undefeated in conference. And then go in, beat Berryville, and was the next game Sand Lizards, or did y'all play?
No, it was Southside Baseball.
Southside Baseball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew there was one. I just couldn't remember who it was. And so two wins in state, get to the semifinals, play Dardanelle. And once you get that far, I mean, every team's good. And you know, it's just a whose turn it is that day. Or a lot of times it is. And I know that they may have been a little disappointed in not getting all the way to the state championship. I know that that was one of their goals, obviously, but I think they had a really great season, and look forward to more great things from them in the future.
Yeah, they did have a great year. Going undefeated in conference is a huge thing. Actually, a crazy stat, they've lost one conference game in 4 years.
Wow.
They had a really great run. Went to the finals as freshmen, got beat in the semifinals as sophomores, won the state championship as juniors, got beat in the semifinals.
That's a high bar, man.
Yeah, it is. Well, I was looking back this morning over what we've done. 13 out of 16 years we've been to the semifinals, at least to the semifinals. And of the four losses we've had in the semifinals, all have been one goal differences. And so it's been a incredible run. You get down there, we beat this same team last year in the state championship. They were really gunning for us. From the beginning of the year, they had D Queen circled if they ever met them. Probably on the boys' side, we peaked probably a couple weeks early, and just for whatever things, distractions, things going on. When you got a lot of seniors, there's a lot of distractions when they start. They're out of school basically a week before state happens, and for whatever reason, Saturday we just could not get going. Like I said, distractions or just one of those days.
Yeah.
We seemed to struggle. We had passed the ball really well all year, shot the ball really well all year, and Saturday we just seemed to be kicking it all over the place. And I think part of that was Dardanelle jumped on us really fast and got us a little bit rattled, and I think that we just had a hard time getting it back under control.
Well, you and I were talking out here. With about 2.5 minutes to go, we took a shot. I thought sure it was going in. And then you tie it up, and then you don't know. What I've heard is there was two or three shots like that that maybe another time this season would have went in. For whatever reason, they didn't Saturday. And
it's just one of those days. That's just kind of soccer in a nutshell.
Right. Yeah.
You can play a really good game and just struggle getting the ball in the back of the net. You just have those days in soccer. I hated it for the kids, especially the seniors. They were a solid group of kids, kids you could take anywhere and not have to worry. You know, a lot of times with me coaching girls, they warm up on their own, so they're kind of senior-led, and they get them going. And so I really had a lot of trust and faith in those guys to make sure everybody was on the same page when they came to the field, and they were.
Coach, you want to give your assistant coaches a shout-out while you're
Coach Garcia, come on. This is actually really his second year. He volunteered the first year, but this is his second year. And I guess we can go ahead and make this announcement. He's going to be the head girls soccer, so I can go back to focusing more with the boys, and I will help him.
Yeah.
But he's going to be the head girls soccer coach.
That's where good news for you. I would.
It's going to be good news for everybody. Coach Garcia, I'll be there to kind of give him advice and support. And again, I'll help with girls. We do a lot of cross training where the boys are on the field. Steven does a lot of the field work. I do a lot of the weight room work.
Yeah.
So we rotate days where one's in the weight room, one's out, or we split time each day. So it'll be really good for that. There's just a lot of things that go on in a day when you're dealing with two teams, and this will help me more focus on one.
100 kids.
Yes. Well, and there's 100 things going on where they've got to be here or be there, and it's just easier for both of us. And it'll allow me to do more coaching than, I guess, administrative kind of things. And
I don't see any downside.
No, we're excited about that. Then we have Coach Rynell Flores. He's been volunteering for years. He's got a passion. He's kind of an old school coach. He wants to practice from 4 till dark every day. It doesn't bend if it's in January or in May, you know, how the time changes. He wants to go all day, and he just loves it. He loves being around the kids and working with them. Coach Kendall Kershoff has been out there helping, and she played soccer. So she has a vast knowledge and really helps us out, especially on the girls' side. And then Jace Tatum came out this year kind of as a coach slash trainer, helped with a lot of taping and injuries, which freed up more time for me on other things as well. So all those did a really good job and was a huge help.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, I just thank y'all for having me in. It's been a great year. I know it didn't end the way we all wanted it to, but that happens in life, and we'll move on. And next year, we'll try to make another run at it and keep going.
Before you get out of here, though, we need you to pick a Leopard and Lady Leopard Player of the Week from Shelter Insurance Woods Agency. Leopard Player of the Week.
Well, my Leopard Player of the Week would be Donovan Esther. He scored 3 goals at the state tournament. 2 of them very impressive. One off a corner or a cross, headed it in. The other one off a one-time banger. Just crossed the ball right in front of the goal, and he hit it right off the first try.
You follow Benny Esther on Facebook, you could have saw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were quite impressive. And Donovan had a really good – Donovan just kept getting better. You know, we missed Donovan the first 2 years with – he had that knee injury.
Yeah.
It took him a while to get back and come back his junior and senior year and did a really phenomenal job. On the girls' side, Alexa Munroy, she played outstanding defense all year. Carried it over into the state tournament, did a really good job on number 13 for Farmington, and just going to miss both those seniors, but they both did an excellent job, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to work with them.
Coach, we really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming in. That's our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Players of the Week, Alexa Munroy and Donovan Esther. We appreciate you, Coach Sloan, for coming in so much, and a great season. And we'll be right back to talk about Ashdown Panther Athletics.
I first want to quickly mention about Ashdown Veterinary Clinic and DeQueen Animal Hospital. Been sponsors since the very beginning, and we appreciate them continuing on through the summer as well as our other sponsors. So DeQueen Animal Hospital, 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387. And then Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, 139 Southern Drive, down in Ashdown, 870-898-5188. Call those numbers to schedule an appointment today. Absolutely amazing service, and great places to watch over your pets, drop them off, and get all of your veterinary needs taken care of.
Yeah, well, I just want to mention congratulations to Kayla Martin, who is a legacy now. Mm-hmm. She is now a veterinarian also.
Nice.
Yeah. You know who was also a legacy? Flounder on
Yeah, true. That's true.
On Animal House.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
That's true. But I just wanted to mention that because I know she's worked really hard, and I know that Kenny and Jennifer are both really proud of her, and congratulations to her for completing her education, and she's going to be here working soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We appreciate the Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. Let's move on to the Panthers, I suppose.
Okay. Well, the Panthers, as most of the teams that we're covering, had no athletic action last week. But what we're going to do is we're going to go back and we're going to recognize a player that had a really good performance during the year for our Horatio State Bank Panther Player of the Week.
Yeah, Grayson Porter. I mean, he had a great season, but you go back to the playoffs against DeWitt. DeWitt had won 10 ball games. Ashdown rolls in there and just takes care of him, man. And Grayson Porter had a lot to do with that. 256 total yards, 122 passing. 134 rushing and three touchdowns. And we just want to recognize Grayson Porter as, you know, kind of looking back as our Horatio State Bank look back for the Panthers this week.
Awesome.
There you go. Congratulations to Grayson for that.
That's right.
And I think now we just move on to Costot River, if that's okay with you. And same thing there. No athletic events last week for the Eagles or Lady Eagles, but we've got to look back there too, Tony.
Senior Landry Richardson, who was all that in a bag of chips all season. I don't know how many times she was our Eagle Player of the Week, and she's going to be the Union Bank Eagle Lookback Player of the Week this week. Averaged a double-double for the 23-24 season, 16 points, 12 rebounds. And, Greg, we got to watch her a number of times, and she –
Yeah, she was a great player. Yeah. They're going to miss her this year,
yes.
Coming year. But congratulations to Landry Richardson for being our Union Bank Eagle Lookback Player of the Week this week. Moving on, we're going to talk about Foreman now. And Foreman didn't have a game either.
Right.
So we're looking back there to our Horatio State Bank Gator Lookback Player of the Week.
Freshman Brody Bearden. I mean, for a freshman to come in and play quarterback for in Arkansas high school football, I mean, that he deserves a lot of credit for that. Kind of fearless, and we're going to recognize him as our Horatio State Bank Lookback Gator Player of the Week.
Awesome.
And we have one more high school to go. Actually, we have two more high schools to go. First, we're going to talk about the Dierks Outlaws, who, again, did not play last week. So we're going to look back for them for our Toad Thumper Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Is there a question to who it is?
I don't think there will be.
The only question is, what are we going to recognize him for?
That's right.
But we've went back for our Outlaw Lookback Player of the Week to Andrew Mike, of course, who hadn't played football in 8 years, comes in again, plays quarterback in Arkansas high school football, and has a great year. And Andrew Mike ends up, I mean, he's a great basketball player, great baseball player, great young man. I mean, that wasn't hard.
All around.
just really great. I mean, just off the top of my head, threw a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Well, he probably got close to averaging a double-double if he didn't average a double-double in basketball.
Yeah.
So, and to the quarterback after not playing for 8 years.
And made all district.
Yeah, that's just amazing. And congratulations to Andrew Mack, our Toad Thumper Lure Lookback Player of the Week for the Dierks Outlaws. Now we're down to one.
We are.
And they did play last week.
They did.
That would be the Horatio Lions and the Horatio Lady Lions, both in the state tournament. The Horatio Lions ended up losing in the quarterfinals to Cedar Ridge, 5-4, really close game there. Ended the season at 13-12. Lady Lions ended up 22-8 as they lost to Riverside 7-3, also in the quarterfinals.
That's a great
22-8 is a great year.
Yeah, right. That is a great year. That's an amazing year, and they were really good.
Yeah, they were. We got to see them too.
We saw them in person. Really good. Lady Lions team, and a lot of good players there, and several that are going on to play in college, I believe.
Yeah, they were really good, well put together team. Could hit from top to bottom. Played good defense and had excellent pitching. I mean, and had to throw a catcher in there who really hadn't caught a lot, and she, I mean, she performed like all district.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's right. And so
that wraps up pretty much Southwest Arkansas sports, doesn't it?
Yeah, we just got to do Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week.
I forget.
Yeah,
that's all right. It's going to be Braden Scarborough, who pitched really well. But before they had lost to Riverside, they had beat Mansfield, who was the number one seed, 7-2. And just want to congratulate Braden Scarborough, who, again, has won several Line Player of the Week, Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week, and he's done it again.
Awesome.
Congratulations to him, and that wraps it up.
Yeah, that's been between football, basketball, baseball, softball, and soccer. That is Southwest Arkansas sports that we covered every single week.
We did.
For the past 40 weeks. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now we make it into the summer, huh?
Yeah, and now we're going to talk about some other things that we think are interesting from time to time. And you know, we're going to take, you know, we'll take, there'll be some high school talk during the summer too, but we're also going to talk about some other things that we want to talk about, like such as, You want to talk about a little playoff hockey to start with?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that.
You guys,
I mean, you're the expert in that.
You're going to have to put a time limit on it because I have watched every single game.
We'll talk to the producer about it.
Yeah. And then we also, we do want to talk national stuff, but then like over the course of the next few weeks, just for the listener's sake, you know, talk about, you know, rumor and keys to victory for the upcoming football season and what to look
we'll keep
at.
Doing
you
some
know?
Look backs in May too. Yeah. Look back at some great performances in Southwest Arkansas, you know, in the 23-24 athletic season.
And every time, every new football season, too. I mean, it gets molded into a different thing. Seniors go away. Freshmen come up, you know. And I'm sure there's some interesting things we can look at there between Southwest Arkansas and all the teams that we cover.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we've got new coaches to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, specifically, you know, look at Ashdown. Dakota Barrett's taking on some new positions. We'll talk to him. There's a new coach at Foreman we'll be talking to, you know, so lots of different things going on, and we're gonna try to cover that too. But you know, just hang with us. I think you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely.
And just to start off, let's talk a little bit about the hockey playoffs, and I'll try to keep you down so
okay.
it didn't go for too long. But you know, I've you know, of course, you know me. We talk about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You and I do, but I'm a Dallas Stars fan.
Yeah, me too.
Mainly just because they're in Dallas.
Yes.
And not because of anybody that plays for them or anything like that.
Well, they do have some amazing players. I'm a Jets fan through and through. My second team would have probably been the Bruins, if you ask me, and only for one reason. And I don't choose teams very often based on location. All right. As I choose, because you're at that point, you're basically choosing clothing. That's what you're rooting for, is the color of some clothing, because none of the guys are ever from there. So, you know, I like the Jets. I like the fact that they got brought back, you know, in what, 2017 or 2018.
Yeah.
Finally, and they did well in their first year, and watching that kind of new team reach, you know, a cool level. So, and I'm from there too, and you know, so that was why I kind of picked them as my team. They got knocked out in the first round, of course, really badly. Looked awful. I mean, just not put together, not defensive at all. And when during the regular season, they were.
Everybody's blaming the coach.
A lot of people are blaming the coach, and now he's fired.
Yes.
Rick Bowness. He's been there for a good while, and you know, he just did not deal with the Avalanche's forecheck at all. So basically, that means, if you don't know, every time the Avalanche would bring the puck into the neutral zone, they would dump it way behind, and you know, usually behind the net. And the Jets just had a really hard time dealing with that.
So as a Jets fan, you've got to be ecstatic that the Stars are just kicking the Avalanche.
Oh yeah, well, it's tough because in the first game, of course, they lost. So Dallas up 3 goals and then took a breather, and the Avalanche comes through. The thing about the Avalanche is that they don't have a lot of depth in their players, but when their star players are on the ice, they're super aggressive, really aggressive with the forecheck, and they are. They score a lot.
Well, Dallas kicked them last night, 5-1.
Yes, they did.
And they're up 3-1. Is that correct?
Yes. So it is 3-1 right now in the season. The second game, they should have lost because, again, Dallas was up 4-0, and they have scored 3 goals in a row. And it looked like they were going to tie it and win in overtime again. So clearly on the third game and into the fourth game, they have they've stifled the forecheck from Avalanche because that's what it is. The Avalanche have never been in the lead, not once during the whole thing, but that first game was atrocious. The second one was almost even worse.
Well, I think Dallas finally got awakened.
Yeah.
The last two games have been pretty dominating by Dallas.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking for them to go forward to the next level.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you have to look at Dallas. I mean, at least with the first two games, as tough as they were, they had just gotten off 7-game series with the Knights, who mm-hmm. were last year's champs. So, you know, that's they might have been a little tired for the first two games.
Now, the other side of the Western bracket, you've got mm-hmm. Vancouver or Edmonton coming from that. I think Vancouver's up 2-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate I mean, is this the toughest test for the Avs, or excuse me, for the Stars, or could Vancouver or Edmonton give them all they want?
I don't think either of them are going to be able to deal with Dallas's depth, especially if the Oilers somehow win, because the Oilers literally only have a couple players. They have the top two players in the league. And you know what happens when when one team has the best players on it, their depth suffers because they got to pay those guys so much. Right. So you have Connor McDavid and Dreisaitl up front.
Rex Ramirez, he's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Just call him Dak.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what list you look at, the top 20, top 50, top 100 players currently playing right now, Connor McDavid is number one and Dreisaitl is number two. And they're both ridiculously good at scoring from anywhere. It doesn't matter. They call it McDreisaitl. It's both of these guys can absolutely just control. Their power plays are ridiculous. Just the forecheck, all of it. They can score from pretty much anywhere. Especially McDavid. He's amazing. He's really amazing to watch. And but they have nothing else. They cannot deal. They're just tired. I mean, last night they both played, or not last? Yeah, two nights ago they both played for 29 minutes. That's 29 really, really hard minutes, and they don't have any depth otherwise. When they're not on the ice,
they're not a threat to score.
They're not a threat at all. And the Canucks are just, they got solid players. You know, they got a couple stars, but they got solid players, and they're just able to deal with it. And the Oilers
just wear them out over the course of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pulled their goalie on the last, Skinner, he's letting a lot through. He's not, and if your goalie isn't playing up to playoff standards, you're going to lose the series. Right. So, but I don't see either of them being that big a test for Dallas. Not like after, I mean, the Avs, and I would put the Avs and the Vegas Knights beating either the Canucks or the Oilers pretty easily.
Yeah.
A lot of it's about matchups and who you get seated with. And
The reason Dallas is so good is because every single one of their players is solid.
Yeah.
So every time someone comes off the ice, you've got a dude who's literally like been foaming at the mouth, just holding on to the side, just ready to get in there. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Avs are really suffering right now, because again, they have a really strong front line, but they don't have the depth that Dallas does.
The Carolina Hurricanes staved off elimination last night, beating the Rangers 4-1.
They're hot.
Me too.
They're hot.
Yeah.
Last night was about one of the worst performances I've ever seen out of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really bad night for them. Their only goal was shorthanded by the defenseman Trouba, who is his first playoff goal ever.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that that was your only goal when you have that stellar of a front line makes no sense. I mean, it really doesn't. But the Hurricanes are really, really physical, and they have a really solid defense.
And
they win
three in a row, though.
No, I don't think so. And the Rangers have the same advantage that Dallas does. Their depth is ridiculous. Every time somebody gets on the ice, now the Hurricanes have good depth too, but not like the Rangers. And what the Rangers are dealing with in the past two games, they've lost the past two games, is Carolina has changed to a 3-1-1 defense, so that the neutral zone is extremely hard to get through. And by the time they do get through it, now they're dealing with three.
Yeah.
And so the forecheck isn't working. Nothing's working. And they just can't get
any
offense
off. You think
the
Rangers are the most physical team left?
Probably the Bruins. No, the Panthers.
You like the Panthers better?
I like the Bruins. I want the Bruins to win. But the Panthers are ridiculously.
Yeah. Capitals, the Bruins, the Rangers, the Penguins, all kind of. Now, the Penguins more finesse, but those three teams play really hard-nosed hockey.
Yeah. Rangers I find to be very, at least because of their past. So Vegas is very, very physical.
Right.
And so are the Hurricanes. And they play prettier hockey than those two teams. Like, when these guys are synced in, it is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is like it's a symphony rather than the hard heavy metal that the Carolina Hurricanes are playing.
And what I see coming out of this is whoever comes out of the East is going to be beat up. Because I'm anticipating it being Florida and the Rangers.
That's when
they're going to play probably a 7-game series.
Yeah.
It's going to be a death match almost every game.
Yeah.
And so if Dallas can stave off the Avalanche and then go forward against either the Oilers or the Canucks,
and I bet
they're going to have an easier way.
Well, yeah, for sure.
You look at, Vancouver and Edmonton, it's just 2-1. If that goes 7, Dallas going to get a lot of rest if they can finish the Avalanche off quick.
Tomorrow night. Mm-hmm.
And then Greg's exactly right. It's going to be a much less physical series with the Vancouver or Edmonton than the Rangers or the Panthers, or if even the Hurricanes come back.
Yeah,
they'll have to play a much more physical series.
We might be talking about the Panthers series a little bit differently right now. A lot of people think it would be 2-2 right now because the last game, there's been a lot of complaints about the officiating and the reffing. The last game, there was a major tying goal that would pretty much be considered goalie interference by anybody watching, and it wasn't called. It was challenged and still not called.
Right.
You know, one of the defensemen got pushed into the goalie and then a goal was scored. Like, I don't think anybody could look at that and not think that was goalie interference. So that goal should have definitely been taken away, and then we might have been looking at a different game. But that's just the way the puck goes, I guess. So it's been good. I mean, the playoffs have been really good, really physical, lots of really good hockey, but the reffing has been atrocious. And I don't have every other sport.
Exactly,
right? Exactly. I don't have a dog in the fight in any of those. I don't really care if the Bruins lose or win or the Panthers win or lose, but that definitely should not have been a goal. And they wouldn't have had that momentum. You know, they scored one more after that, but that would have been the tying goal. And who knows what could have happened if that was actually called.
Tyler, before we move on, and I know you lived in Canada for a while, and I've always wondered this. How do the Canadians feel about the Americans taking over their game?
Well, the one thing that they get to enjoy is that most of the top players for the American teams are Canadian.
Right.
So, and I mean, the Canadians teams are absolutely stocked with Americans.
Yes.
So it like kind of, I don't know. It's they, I mean, when's the last time the Stanley Cup has been in Canada? I mean, 20 years or something like that. Like,
it's been a while.
It's been a long time. And yeah, obviously they want. So,
well, I remember when I was a kid, it was probably half and half, about half the teams in Canada and half the teams. And now it's nowhere near that.
It's not even near that. And the one team that Canada relies on, which has easily been the biggest disappointment in the last long time, is the Maple Leafs. They absolutely, I mean, they just don't have a playoff level. They will be amazing all season long and then just get knocked out in the first round.
Right.
People have been saying there's three things guaranteed in life: death, taxes, and the Bruins beating the Maple Leafs in game 7 of the first round.
Well, I just think about how Americans think baseball is their game, and how they would feel about, you know, a bunch of teams moving to Mexico or Japan or whatever, or one of our teams getting wore out by a team from Mexico or Japan, and how Americans would react to that. Mm-hmm. Basketball, we experienced a little bit of that when the Dream Team LeBron was on loss, right?
Yeah.
So I just wondered if Canadians kind of felt the same way about
that. Oh, definitely. They want the Cup in Canada. Unfortunately, I don't see the Canucks or the Oilers giving Dallas any kind of problems. I mean, I could be wrong. We're always on. I tried to listen back to what my picks were as far as the, and I think I made it Rangers Stars, which I am pretty sure. And then I did like a long shot. I was hoping it would be the Jets and the Hurricanes. So I think we're moving towards that. If the Rangers don't lose the next two games.
It's hard not to watch the Rangers and the Stars and not think these are the two best teams
in hockey. Yeah, and they both have the same thing. A goalie who is incredible in Jake Oettinger for the Stars and Igor Shesterkin for the Rangers, and incredible depth. Like all their dudes are solid. There's not a single like dude on the ice who's like, you know, like when you watch the Hurricanes, you get this like D'Angelo dude on there. He really is bad. He's whenever he's on the ice, I see him just make mistakes. He's stumbling all over the place and he gets into fights and he gets penalties called on him. Like that guy is actively hurting. I feel like if that guy hadn't been playing at all, maybe the Hurricanes would not be, you know, well, the series is 3-2 now, so we can't, you know, I don't know.
It's going to be tough to beat the Rangers three games in a row.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Really?
Oh, for sure. And then the Rangers.
At least one of those is going to be in New York.
Yeah, the Rangers do well on the road.
Yeah.
They really do. So we'll see how tomorrow's game goes. I think the Rangers will be able to pull it together.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, you ready to swap over to NBA for
yeah.
a minute?
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at the NBA, you know, they're in the conference semifinals, mm-hmm. right, for each one of them. You got Boston leading Cleveland 3-1, who is my favorite mm-hmm. to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City and Dallas tied up at 2-2.
Wow.
As Oklahoma City won last night.
Stacey Falkenberry's favorite in the whole thing.
Yeah.
He loves Oklahoma City.
I like Oklahoma City, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a lot of Razorbacks on Oklahoma City.
Yep.
You know, Dallas, I like Dallas, too. Then you got Indiana at New York tied 2-2, and Minnesota at Denver tied 2-2 also.
Yeah.
Denver's kind of started out slow against Minnesota, mm-hmm. but they've come back and done really well. You know,
Jokic.
Boston's kind of sleepwalking through these things.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you if you and I were going to Christian bet, we'll say we're going to bet a Frosty, would you take Boston or the field?
I'll take the field.
Would you?
Yeah. Now, at this point,
I would take Boston.
Yeah.
I would take Boston.
Yeah. At this point, I'd take the field just only because what I've seen them do at home.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You know,
but I do think that at some point they're going to wake up.
Yeah, if they do that, I think they're going to be the team to beat for sure.
So too.
And you know, so I think that you know, that's pretty much what I've got on NBA right now. I mean,
well, Joker just won his third MVP in a row,
yeah.
And some people, including Shaq, had a big problem with that. I know he's catching a lot of flack for saying it should have been somebody else and all this.
Imagine
but really,
Shaq catching flack for saying something.
Yeah, I know. But you look at the stats. There's nobody who has from top to bottom the record from the regular season that Joker does.
Well, what does MVP mean? To me, it means you were the most valuable to your team.
That's right.
And I don't think there's any doubt about it.
I mean, I don't remember the stats very well, but he scores a lot of points. His assists and rebounds are all, you know, he's got like, I think he's got the second most double-doubles in the league and all this. So he's all over the place.
Just watching how much I've watched, Luka Doncic may be the next best one.
You think?
Yeah. Most valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's averaging 32 points a game in this series against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just amazing in mm-hmm. professional basketball to me.
For sure.
But anyway, one other thing I want to mention about professional basketball is the NBA starts tonight.
Yeah.
And you know, something that I did not think would make it. This is their 24th season. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Well, they're not only making it, they're thriving.
Yeah, they are. And you know, you got just a lot of stars now that are coming out of college that are going to be really pumping it up even more, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think that they're
And I do think the unwatchability of the NBA adds to that. The women play a much pure brand of basketball than the guys do. They just do. I would 10 times right now rather watch the WNBA than the NBA.
Yeah, me too.
And I would thought I would have never said that.
You know, and Caitlin Clark's an amazing basketball player.
Yeah.
She really is. You know, and so it's going to be fun to watch that as she moves into her pro career. Not only to see what she does on the basketball court, but see how she elevates the whole league. And I think that's going to happen. But, you know, I know last week I missed out on talking about the 100 greatest NBA players. And you know, I did hear, I think Tuttle said he didn't know who Dolph Shays was, which mm-hmm. disappointed me a little bit.
We're very disappointed with you, Jim.
Yeah, I thought he would have known who Dolph Shays was. But you know, You know, when you look at the players there and you look at your probably one of the most underrated players, and he wasn't even on the 100, I think Sidney Moncrief was an outstanding professional
player. I told
Toto
you'd bring him up this week.
Yeah, I know. but so I had to.
Yeah.
But I, you know, as far as defensively, I don't know how many NBA Defensive Player of the Year awards he won.
Yeah.
He won a bunch.
Yeah.
And really.
With some of them on the list, it's hard to believe he didn't make the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But a lot of great players.
Did you hear Tuttle put Corliss out there as the greatest Razorback?
No.
Yes, he did. I said, there's no Razorback on this top 100. Who do you think the greatest one? He was talking about Corliss Williamson. And I said, I had a friend in Arkansas called him Corliss.
Yeah. Well, he did win a, he won an NBA championship. He won a Sixth Man of the Year award.
He did.
NBA. But
he's not Moncrief.
No. No.
And Jeff may be a little too young to fully appreciate Sidney Moncrief.
Yeah.
I've never heard of him before. Have aged to a point where we could appreciate
Moncrief. That's right. Sidney Moncrief was an amazing Razorback and also an amazing Milwaukee Buck and did a great job there. But, I'm going to tell you why we're going to talk about this. My oldest granddaughter, Bailey, was in this weekend, and people have been giving her a hard time about the Michael Jordan versus LeBron James thing. You know, and the only thing I got to say about this is, what you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
There's no comparison.
Mm. No, there's not.
I mean, there really isn't.
Well,
I mean, if you just go on numbers, I mean, well, if you play long enough, you're going to get numbers. And look who he played with.
Yeah.
Look who LeBron's played with. He's played with all-stars over and over again that he acquired, that he got on his team. And then when they didn't win, the coach got fired.
Well, once the postseason started, he's lost more with them than won.
That's right. That's right.
I think he's Jordan's the GOAT. There's no doubt about that. Like, for sure. But would Jordan have played like LeBron did in the new age of the league? I mean, I think so, but you can't say that. I mean, like, there's definitely better players now than there ever has been. I mean, most of the guys on the top 100
list. I don't know
about
that.
Greg sent me this.
True.
This puts the Jordan and LeBron thing in a light better than anybody I've ever heard put it in a light. Can I read it?
Sure.
This is from NBA News and Voices. Says, and I'm going to skip a word or two. I never saw Jordan ask for his respect. I never seen the audience bullying Michael Jordan in our own home. I never saw Jordan looking for a referee to ask to take out a fan who had paid for a ticket. I never saw Jordan fight a woman for mocking his game. I never saw Jordan lose in a final. I never saw Jordan score 8 points in a final. I never saw Jordan get swept in a final. I never saw Jordan lose to an inferior team in the playoffs. I never saw Jordan lose in the Olympics. I never saw Jordan play on a super team and not make the playoffs. I never saw Jordan rest off season when he tried to play every game, which, man, that's one of the things that really irks me. And I never saw Jordan proclaim himself as the greatest of all time. If you're great, you don't have to tell people you're great.
No.
And it seems like LeBron needs people to tell him that he's great.
Yeah.
I see this as different eras. I mean, there's not a sport you could say that isn't different than what it was in the 90s. I mean, sure, you maybe had some divas back there, but of course, look at the top guys of all the sports. Is there a more diva guy than Tom Brady? Like, he's a diva. You know, and then you look
back.
That's
a whole other discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and then LeBron James, and then who knows? Bring up any other sport. I mean, look at how pitchers act in the MLB right now. Look at how hockey players, you can't hit like you used to, and all of them act like they're all flopping around. Soccer, they're all of them. It's a different era.
But if you're going to make the argument, let's move Jordan to this era.
Yeah.
Let's move LeBron back to Jordan's. How you think he'd do?
I think he'd do great.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think he's too soft. I think he's way too soft.
Well, I mean,
with the Bill Laimbeers of the world.
Here's the thing: if he just all of a sudden found himself, but if he grew up and played basketball like he did in the rough play that they did, he would have just he would be then at that level of playing that kind of game. I mean, if he just all of a sudden disappears from current basketball and appears in that, yeah, he's going to have a rough time. But I mean, at the same time, he's still like 6'9". He's still a massive. He's a playmaker.
Top five all time. I put him in my top five all time. I'm not saying he's not a good basketball player.
Right, right.
I'm just saying he's not the greatest.
Right. I mean, his stats are better. Are they not? Not for rings.
No.
Which, not from rings.
People just get to talk about this. But being a Steeler fan, rings mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Marino was a good quarterback. Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. Who's a better quarterback in my eyes? Terry Bradshaw.
Right. Do you think Tom Brady would have done well in the 90s or the 80s?
I think that Tom Brady is a natural talent. Uh-huh. I think that probably he would have done well in just about any era.
Yeah.
You know, the thing I think has helped Brady more than anything else is his focus on conditioning, that it contributed to his longevity, that he and it also contributed to him making the most of the God-given athletic ability he had.
Right.
So yes, I think that if he had had that same attitude, yes, I think he would have.
But the unathleticism and the...
Oh, he's not a great athlete.
No. And, I mean, he gets crumpled.
I think... I'm going to tell you, uh-huh. I think he's a system quarterback.
Yeah.
Brady?
Yeah. Now, he's a great system quarterback, but they tailored it to him and what he could do. They didn't try to make him do things he couldn't do, which is what they do with so many quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm. And you know, you got to give Bill Belichick credit. You know, he took... people, Amendola. Mm-hmm. Most people wouldn't even give him a chance to play.
Yeah.
And those kind of players, he made them all
good.
Pros.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and not
how
just,
big was Amendola? He was tiny.
5'10".
Yeah.
About my size.
For a wide receiver, that seems short to me.
Yeah. 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 But you know, I think, I'm just saying, I'm not saying Tom Brady wasn't great.
Sure.
He was great. But I'm saying, Bill Belichick had the coaching wherewithal to put him in a situation where he could excel.
Right.
Yes. Bill Belichick's X's and O's is a great coach. I don't think you give Bill Belichick props for drafting Tom Brady in the sixth round. If you thought he was going to be Tom Brady, you wouldn't have took him in the sixth round. You'd have took him way before that.
Everything on that, I agree with all this that you said about all the things Jordan didn't do, but we're living in a much more entitled, ridiculous age. And the thing is that Jordan, no doubt, is a better player for himself. I mean, Jordan would just rather take the ball and destroy the whole game with his own, while LeBron
You talk about the numbers, and that's really the only argument LeBron has.
Right.
Let's give Jordan those 3 years he played baseball back and then project his numbers out to as long as LeBron has played.
Sure.
And let's see who has the numbers.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want me to read this because it's kind of long, but it's Stephen A. Smith wrote this.
Who, he's a big LeBron fan.
Greg Revels is the redneck Stephen A. Smith.
and so I would like to read this.
Sure.
I think he said, I think LeBron is the biggest underachieving star in the history of the NBA. Think about this. In a 21-year career, he only has 4 championships, 2 of them coming in the lockout season and the bubble in 2020. On top of that, he has a losing record in the finals, but his fans will say he went to 8 straight. His era is the era we give out participation trophies. You don't have to win it, you just get there. Now, despite his talent, his recruitment of superstars, the many, many trades he has his teams pull off, not to mention the many, many draft picks the teams gave up to get the players he wants, and then when it doesn't work out, not only does he blame the media and his fans blame everybody but him, then LeBron leaves and the teams, once he's used all their draft picks and strapped them financially.
And gets their coach fired.
Yep. Oh, and let's not forget the countless coaches he gets fired when he constantly undermines their authority over the team. For him to be the most helped superstar in the history of the game, his resume should be better than it is. Now LeBron's fans will swear up and down this is hate, but they should ask themselves, where's the line? Anything I just said.
Hmm.
Now that's Stephen A. Smith. That's not me saying it. But you know, I think that's part, and I understand what you're saying. But I think the difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James is, when it mattered, Jordan led.
Yeah.
When it mattered, LeBron stepped back.
Yeah. Mm.
I guess it depends. During certain seasons, maybe. I mean, when the comeback from the Celtics is the big. I mean, that's
final
history.
That Jordan lost. Oh no, there wasn't a final that Jordan lost. No. He was 6-for-6.
That's right.
Well, right, but again, that's different. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a better player, but I mean, for well, he get. I mean, LeBron gets a lot of hate because he acts like a child. But when he's on the court, he's very good. I mean, I don't understand how nobody could put him at the second.
Nobody.
Like, people say, I mean, he's the second best.
I would.
And for most people, there wouldn't be anything wrong with being second best all time.
Yeah.
But there's a problem for him.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing. You look at I'm gonna go to fighting. I'm gonna go to UFC right now. There is the greatest UFC run is whatever. Let's call it. Let's focus on the middleweight division. 9 title defenses in a row. That guy would get smoked nowadays. Absolutely smoked. You know, but he's still held up as the greatest of all time. But he wouldn't even contend in today's at that age and this and that. So I think that's something that, you know, I don't know. I don't have as much hate as like LeBron fans hate Jordan and Jordan fans hate LeBron. That's what I see.
I don't hate him.
Right. Right.
I think he's a great player, but I do think the premier era of NBA basketball started with the drafting of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in 1980, 79.
I would go back to that list of 100 people and pick up how many of those guys are from the 80s and 90s, and then you try to tell me the NBA's better now? No, it ain't better now.
Yeah, I guarantee you it is because everybody's better.
I don't agree.
I mean, like the talent that's in the NBA right now is no doubt. I mean, it's as far as any sport. I mean,
well, I think it's I'm not going to argue that the overall level of talent's not better. I won't argue that. But what I will tell you is, because I watched the NBA before these guys came out, and basically that's what they went back.
They saved the NBA.
They did save it.
Right.
You know, the NBA finals before Bird and Magic came out were tape delayed at 10:30 on some channel. They didn't even show them live.
Yeah. Right.
And you could watch and all they did was jack up shots and try to dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they're back to now? Jacking up threes and trying to dunk.
Exactly.
That's what they're doing.
The game changes.
But it's reverted back to what it was before. When you came in, when you had all these nucleus of good players like that, it was about the team.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about the individual. And it's in every sport, and I understand why, because it's about money.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a business, and you know, you got to promote yourself. So if you nobody wants the guy that leads the team in assists. They want the scoring leaders.
Yeah.
They don't want the person that, and I can give you other examples of this. They don't want the rebounding leaders. They want the people that score the most
points. Very close to home.
Yeah. Right. and I think the thing about that is that Michael Jordan went and got Dennis Rodman when he was wearing a wedding dress. Right?
He did.
And brought him on his team and controlled him.
Yeah.
And won championships with him because of that. I mean, great basketball player.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you said. And I think now it's just totally different. And the only thing I'm going to say is I don't hate LeBron. I think he's a great player. I think you can't do what he's done without being a great player.
Right.
But he is not Michael Jordan.
Well, right. And he's not doing himself any favors.
I wouldn't even try to compare myself.
No. Let other people make the comparison. You shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's an absolute superstar. I mean, a lot of it, how much can you really blame on him? I mean, I'm going to go that way.
Coach, he assembled the players.
Well, but let's talk about other forms of stardom. Was Justin Bieber a complete butthead before he had an entire arena, like 300 times a year, an entire arena full of people chanting his name? Or do you think that maybe got to him a little bit and then he started acting up? I mean, LeBron James was a humble young basketball player at one point and did amazing. And then, like, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I'm not gonna fault a guy for letting stuff like this get to his head. And everybody's in divas nowadays in all the sports.
Sure.
You know, I mean, who is the closest to Jordan then?
Who's,
you know,
I think we went through all this. You didn't. I mean, Kobe was the next Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan and Kobe played each other numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure Kobe ever got the better of Jordan. Do you?
No.
I don't really think he did.
Right.
And you know, you're talking about at the end of a career, at mm-hmm. the start of a career.
Yeah, yeah.
Kobe, outstanding, amazing player. Lots of amazing players.
Yeah.
LeBron James, an amazing player.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that point at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Right.
I really am not. But when you take, you know, when you take the, like Stephen A. Smith mm-hmm. said, look at all the players he's brought to teams to help him win championships. They didn't win them.
Yeah.
He left. He basically bankrupted those teams.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wherever he wanted to go, because he could go wherever he wanted to.
Right.
You know, when you look at what Michael Jordan did with the players he had, and you can give Phil Jackson credit for this too,
mm-hmm.
but they were a team.
Yeah.
They played together. They had to because – other than Michael Jordan, they weren't that great.
B.J. Right. Armstrong, yeah. Steve Kerr,
yeah,
Bill Cartwright,
yeah,
Will Purdue,
yeah.
It's the level of talent.
I forgot about Luke Longley. I would have went the rest of my life and not thought about Luke Longley.
I think it's the depth. It's the talent. I mean, the recruiting from across the world now. I mean, I don't think Joker would have played, you know, in the 80s or 90s. I know they went a little bit outside of America, but back in the day, in Jordan's day, it was the best players in America. Now it's the best players in the world.
Well, you had Tony Kukoc for a while.
Yeah, there were a few. Sabonis came over from Russia and played.
Right.
But now, I mean, it's kind of similar to UFC. Like back in the days, oh my gosh, it was nothing but white guys named Tank. That was like, that's who did it. It was street fighters.
Now they're playing slap.
Yeah, exactly.
Slap down.
Yeah, slap power slap.
It would be interesting to see the basketball rate, the television ratings from the 80s and 90s versus what percentage of what the audience the NBA draws today.
Yeah.
I bet it ain't close.
No.
I bet a big reason of that is because most people steal the games. I mean, it's just you have to pay. I mean, I don't know how much.
The NBA's lost everybody my age. They've lost them.
Mm.
They're I mean,
except me.
Is it because they went is it because they went with a hip hop route or something or like
it's just unwatchable basketball.
It's kind of like what he said. I mean, I think one of the things about it is if you're a real basketball fan,
mm-hmm.
what they do now, and a lot of it's because of how greatly gifted athletically they are,
yeah.
is not what we consider real basketball.
Right. You're talking about the flopping.
Well, I'm talking about, you know, dunking it with your armpit above the rim, you know, or shooting three-pointers from 48 foot.
Right.
You know, those things.
And there may be more talent. You know what? There's less fundamentals.
Yeah.
Basketball, just moxie, knowing to do the right thing, pulling out when you've got the lead. I mean, how many times do we scream in the radio this year, we've got a four-point lead in the ball, and we just go down and shoot?
Mm.
Well, that's not what you do. You think about, hey, the clock is our friend. We're going to hold the basketball a little bit. We're going to make them foul us or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that now. It's all about me scoring. I need to score. I don't care what the score is. I don't care whether we win or not.
Yep. And I think that has to do with money. I mean, I think you saw when you see the Razorbacks, that was, you know, Musselman tried to put a team together of fifth, fourth, and fifth-year players that, you know, of course, they got paid to come, and they were looking to get paid more.
Yeah.
And so they were all about themselves.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out as a team at all.
Right.
And I think that's a big – that's a big thing in the pros now, too, is, you know, it's all about, you know, and you can look at any sport.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked about this on baseball radio broadcast, you know, in high school and stuff. You don't hardly see anybody bunt.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't bunt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you used to, you get a guy on first base and there's no outs, guess what's happening?
Mm. Well, a bunt is called a what? a sacrifice.
That's right.
Not much sacrifice than in this generation. Yeah, it's also called giving yourself up. There's not much of that either.
No.
And it's probably part of the reason that bunting has gone away.
Yeah.
But every generation goes through this. The generation that you guys are talking about, there was guys old at your age going, oh, I remember when they wore leather helmets, you know, game there.
Yeah,
and
then
I
remember kind of stuff to me.
I remember when their shorts came up to past mid thigh. I'm glad that's gone. I'm really glad that's gone.
It's coming back.
I can't watch Larry Bird highlights. They're awful to watch. It really is.
He wasn't a lot to look at.
And so, you know, I don't know. I think every generation goes through this. And I guarantee you in 30 years, I'll be looking at, you know, the NFL with the Nerf ball and like there no tackling.
Two-hand touch.
It'll
flags.
Be flags hanging off the back. I'll be like, I remember when they were able to get concussions and nobody complained about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with hockey, too. Hockey is completely different than what it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Basketball is, too. Soccer, NFL, I mean, all of it. It's all going to the route of let's try and keep these guys as safe.
I do think there are some throwbacks in professional sports today. I think Josh Allen, the quarterback for the Bills, he's a throwback.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough guy. He doesn't tell you he's great. He just goes out and plays. And you know, but those guys are getting rarer and rarer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things that has to do with it is free agency. And you know, you can go down to the college level and the portal and NIL and all that stuff. You know, it's just the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
And you know, when we grew up, and I'm not saying it was right. Mm-hmm. I understand there should have been something a little different. I think what we got now is crazy. But when we grew up, if you went to play at Arkansas, mm-hmm. you played at Arkansas unless they kicked you off.
Right.
You know, pretty much. And every once in a while that would happen, but very seldom, right?
That's exactly right.
And when you got drafted, if you got drafted by the Cowboys, you stayed at the Cowboys. Very, very seldom did you. I mean, every once in a while there'd be somebody traded.
But, I can go around the infield and I can tell you pretty much who played each position for the Pirates the whole 1970s.
Yeah.
You can't do it season to season now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, that's because it's become more about individuals. And I understand because they're in a very, very competitive and a very dangerous profession.
Mm-hmm.
That at any moment
time.
You can lose your ability to earn money,
and
so they
got
to do whatever they got to do.
More people are playing now than ever on all of them.
Well,
so
why should owners make all the money?
That's
now
right.
I know owners are taking most of the risk. Now they're not putting themselves out there on the field.
No,
but and you're right. There needed to be something somewhere in between what we had then and what we have now. What we've had now has went too far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's turned fans off that you, I mean, you talk about rooting for a geography or for a jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to root for the Marshall Thundering Herd. I can't tell you 10 players that play for the Herd. And I can't tell you any time in my lifetime where I couldn't tell you 10 players that play for the Herd. But they come in. They had 3 kids transfer in January and transfer out in April.
Yeah.
They didn't even play for the Herd, but they was with the Herd 3 months.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, and I would just say there's just more people playing now than ever, so you have to there's a lot of dudes in the off season and even during the season trying to justify their jobs, playing harder than they can, and then the guys who are locked in, like a LeBron, do take that time off, you know, so there's time to rest. So it's weird, especially in almost all sports, when it's like the off season or the beginning of the regular season, it's two different guys. It's guys going 110% to justify their jobs, and then legends or players that, you know, they don't really need to prove anything, going like 60% trying to just rest and get to the playoffs, that type of thing. And I'm not saying it's right, but that's what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's one of the things you point about Jordan. The Bulls would have everything wrapped up. They could wrap up the number one seed, the division, everything. Guess what Jordan was out there doing?
Yeah, yeah.
He's out there playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a whole different.
That's how you win 72 games in a year.
That's exactly right.
Completely different game.
Yeah. 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 It was different. And you know, the thing about
the Lakers' goal this year was to get in the play-in game.
Yeah.
That was the Lakers' whole goal this year, was to get to the play-in.
They got
it. Yeah.
Oh, they did, yeah. They made a quick exit. But
That's right.
Thanks. Well, congratulations on achieving your goals, your lofty goals.
But,
all right.
But, you know, we could talk about this all day. And, I want to reiterate, I'm not saying that LeBron James isn't a great basketball player.
Right, right.
Possibly the second greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think
so. That's where I don't see how that's a slight.
Yeah, no.
Only to him.
Only to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his fans, you know. Like, there's no doubt for me that Jordan's the best. And I don't think there's anybody. There would have to be somebody right now who's been playing for the last 10 years that you could see in an amount of time becoming Jordan, and there's nobody. So I think it's probably
LeBron's coming up.
It's probably going to be Jordan for a while.
How long are we going to hear about that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, and the other thing about it is, I think you can take, if you look at, to me, what makes a real superstar is what they do with their team.
Hmm.
You know, how much better do they make their team?
Right.
You know, and that's where I think Jordan really excelled.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, and there's other team, you know, when Magic Johnson went to the Lakers. It didn't take him long. They won a championship the first year. And they had most of the team.
Yeah. Jordan didn't have a Kareem.
No.
You wouldn't agree, though, that like at one point, there had to have been a point where LeBron was a better team player than Jordan was. I mean, Jordan, he was just amazing. He could just take it and do amazing things. I mean, like, LeBron is a playmaker. He, like, it's different positions even. I mean, it's different body types. It's different everything.
It's only going to happen in a computer-generated game somewhere.
Yeah.
But you put LeBron with Steve Kerr, B.J. Armstrong, Bill Cartwright, Will Purdue, Luke Longley.
Mm-hmm.
And even Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, and you tell me that he can do with those guys what Jordan did with those guys.
Just look
no way.
I would say look at some highlight videos. If you look at Jordan's highlights, it's him just clowning everybody. If you look at LeBron highlights, he's not amazing when it comes to scoring. It's what he does. It's how he's always in the
play. Oh, yeah, they're different
players. Always in the play. Mm-hmm. He, like, it seemed selfless. I mean, it seemed like he set up a lot of plays, you know, big assists, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I apologize to LeBron if it is a slight to call him the second greatest player of all time. but I don't see Jordan out there pumping his chest saying, give me my respect.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. And that says a lot to me.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, any more on that?
No.
We wore that out. I'll tell you what, Tyler, I really appreciate you kind of playing devil's advocate in that, because that really makes it.
Oh yeah,
that makes the discussion great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I agree. I mean,
maybe I was playing devil's advocate. Well, I don't know, but somebody was.
I think there's a lot. There's a lot to be said for LeBron. I just don't think that he's Michael Jordan.
I would rather play against LeBron than Jordan. Maybe that's a good metric, because Jordan, not only would he'd score on you and completely make you look stupid. Oh, the trash talk, everything that he did.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I love the Space Jam Jordan and all this, and how he's on every cereal box ever and all that. But in the game, man, he was. I can't even say the word that I want to call him on this podcast. He would just be awful to play against, not only because of how good he is, but what he said, his trash talk. I mean, just how he would look at you and all that. He was he was mean on the court.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about it is he knew he was going to burn you.
Yeah.
You knew he was going to burn you. He knew you knew he was going to burn
exactly.
you.
Exactly. He would tell you.
And then he talked about it and then did it.
That's just getting crushed into dirt. Yeah. Like, that's what that is. At least I don't know how much trash talk even goes on in the NBA anymore. I mean, but, I feel
you know,
like
we have some young listeners, and they are going to be amen in everything that Tyler said, you know.
Yeah.
And I realize that they all didn't get to watch Jordan with their own eyes and concentrate on every ball game like we did, you know, especially when playoffs started.
I mean, let me ask you, who's like the greatest, who's the Jordan of hockey?
Wayne Gretzky.
I think he'd be a solid player now, but like he was playing when there were so many things allowed that aren't now, and the amount of expansion teams and just low talent.
Are you a Lemieux guy, Mario Lemieux?
No. I still think Wayne Gretzky is, but I don't want that to affect how I look at Wayne Gretzky. Just like in UFC, I've got, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube for UFC content. It's usually younger people being like, they don't even acknowledge the old best. And I'm like, you can't write off the old best just because they wouldn't do well in today's game. You can't do that. And I wouldn't do that with Jordan or Gretzky or any of them. Gretzky averaged, you know, 2 points a game in the playoffs. Like, I still think one of the highest, you know, and all this. And you know, but he played like a lot of nothings. Like, I don't know how many times Wayne Gretzky just destroyed a team that just popped up.
And much like, you know, Tom Brady, not really a very impressive looking athlete.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, man, that guy could play some.
Oh man. Or, you know, and Tom Brady, obviously. I mean, he's the best quarterback ever, right? Yeah. And he also has like the slowest 40 ever recorded, I'm pretty sure.
He ain't gonna only throw it 22 yards.
Yeah.
Well, so what if you you think the picture they took of him before the combine at the draft? I mean, he looks like a junior in high school. Mm-hmm.
And if you did he need, because I didn't watch the Patriots era, the run, you know, did he need like a solid O-line behind him? Like if he didn't have that, would it, like, you know?
I will tell you, we may never have ever talked about Tom Brady had Drew Bledsoe not got hurt.
That's right.
He took that job because of an injury to Bledsoe, Drew Bledsoe was a good quarterback in his own right, and
for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he never gets hurt, we may never hear about Tom Brady. I think it was a conjunction. You know, they say, well, is it Belichick, is it Brady? It's both.
Yeah.
And it was the right system with the right coach at the right time with the right people, and then Brady becomes Brady. It doesn't happen overnight. He slowly becomes Brady.
Yeah.
But
older football, didn't it have like that? Not to say that the guys aren't bloodthirsty now, but like that one guy on the defense who's just looking at the quarterback being like, no matter what, my aim is to fold him into a pretzel.
Brady kind of had that philosophy, was it's better me to throw an incomplete pass than to take a hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was one of the first people to have that.
Yeah.
And there's a, you know, my dad's a Browns fan, and Jim Brown's the greatest player ever. And I have a hard, I mean, you'd have a hard time arguing against that.
Mm.
But when Franco Harris first got in the league for the Steelers, my dad would hound me because Harris would run out of bounds instead of taking that extra hit.
Yeah.
And kind of Brady was that same guy. He would throw a ball out of bounds instead of taking an extra hit, and he got to play 20 years because of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So all these things can be smart. There's a guy who played hockey. His name was Scott Stevens. I don't know if you guys would watch hockey during that time. Just looking at this guy, he was like 6'4", 230, you know, and just like one of the scariest looking guys I've ever seen in my life. And his entire game was back when you could go shoulder to head, no problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was totally
the Bobby
allowed.
Moore, Gordie Howe day.
Yeah, he ended two people's careers. I think they continued playing a little bit after that, but I mean, they're the most brutal hits in hockey ever. I mean, completely knocked out, cold, concussion, that whole thing. And that guy just, he wouldn't be able to play nowadays. And then a lot of the guys that play now, like, you can totally play now and keep your head down, like at your skates. Like, you can just skate around like that, 'cause you know that a guy can't do that to you anymore. When before it was like, you had to pick your head up. You know, you had to know where everybody was, because there would be Scott Stevens waiting there right after the blue line, just completely steamrolling you. Yeah. You know,
and sports all around has changed a lot that way. I remember, I remember Terry Bradshaw being knocked unconscious in a game with the Cowboys, and Lynn Swann, same way.
Yeah,
So, man, I mean, you don't see that much anymore. You don't see people taken off the field because they're flat out.
Cold. Yeah, yeah.
And that has a lot to do with the equipment, too. The equipment's better. The helmets are better.
You well, know. They made rules where you can't hit them.
But, yeah. That's true. If you do hit somebody in the head, you're going to it's going to cost you $100,000 in three games.
Yeah. And that, I mean, you can't even hit them not in the head if they're quote, defenseless.
Yeah.
Which means they're trying to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And they're not looking at
exactly.
Front of
what's a defenseless?
I don't understand.
Everybody's
that.
Defenseless yeah. when you're
yeah.
catching a ball.
That's right. But I mean, that's what, you know, so if you come in and pile drive them from the side when they're up like this, they're defenseless. You can't hit them.
That seems crazy to me.
Well,
I mean,
and then to, again, Brady's credit, he got that protection a lot more than a guy like Ben Roethlisberger did. I seen Roethlisberger take some vicious hits, no flag. Brady get touched, and there goes the flag.
Yeah.
And you know, well, Brady probably
think he got babied a little bit, like you know, maybe. Yeah.
Well, and plus the fact is they play differently, and I think that factors into the way you call a game because they knew Tom Brady was going to get rid of it quickly, and that he wasn't going to hold it and get hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when he did get hit, they thought it was late.
Oh, it was late, yeah.
Roethlisberger wouldn't want you to call it early because he'd have two guys hanging on to him and he'd throw a touchdown.
Right, right.
And so that causes you not to get those calls.
That's right. That's a good point.
But it's just human nature, but not that it's not different. It's just like you said, Tom got a lot of calls that a lot of other quarterbacks didn't get.
Yeah. Exploiting the rules, right, like across other sports, like in football or basketball, like there couldn't have been as much flopping back in those days of basketball as there is now, right? Or was it even a thing?
They ran over you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to flop because they would run over you.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I think, and y'all may disagree, that has kind of added to that. How many times do we see contact where it should be charge or block?
Yeah.
It's got to be one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing's called.
Yeah.
I saw a highlight this morning on the – it was a Dallas, Oklahoma.
Nothing?
City. Yeah. I saw a call Dallas, Oklahoma game, and it was like a highlight, and they were talking about what a great block it was. He ended up straddling the guy's neck with his – you know, he jumped up and straddled his neck. And how can that not be a foul?
Yeah.
Just because he blocked a shot before he did that, you can't just
you can call a foul after the shot.
Yeah.
Do they have embellishment calls in other sports? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know there's some in hockey. Like, there is some flopping in hockey. Like, if you find one of the sticks like kind of goes in front of your skate, you can you fall, you know, and that's tripping. You know, I've seen a few where I'm like, dude, you could have skated through that. There's no way. You just exploited the rules. But they will do embellishment calls, like, pretty aggressively.
Well, they've got technical fouls in basketball if you flop.
Yeah, if you flop, that's a technical foul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we probably spent enough time talking about all this.
I enjoyed it, though.
You know, it's good to talk about it. And if you're bored by this, we'll talk about something else next week. We're going to talk about why nobody bunts in the major leagues anymore.
We're going to talk about why the AAA scheduled playoff games in Meridian, and Mississippi.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I will give them the credit. State championships, Conway.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's a great place.
You
got to
give
them
a little credit.
Right in the middle.
Especially as critical as I am.
Yeah, right in the middle of the state. That's where they need to be. They're this weekend. If you like high school sports, go up there and watch them. They'll be there all weekend. That wraps it up for episode 40 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Tyler, we couldn't do it without you. Appreciate you, man. And Tony, we missed Jeff, but he's here next week, I hope.
Okay.
And we'll be back to talk sports next week.
That's right.
See you next week.